You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Hey, it is 7:01, and again, let me check those temperatures for you. They're just in the mid-20s everywhere, so you're going to want to definitely bundle up, maybe warm up the car for a couple of minutes. 24 degrees in Anderson right now, 22 in Danville, Illinois, stuck right at 24 in Indianapolis, waiting for the warm-up into the 40s. It's going to feel like spring. Yes. I'm talking myself into it. I'm so happy.
You're just forcing it now.
I am.
Unbelievable. Well, it is time for our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. We're diving into a question that a lot of people want to shy away from. But, you know, this is a simple fact that occultic practices are still very much being practiced today. What do the occult and Christianity have in common? That's our question of the day. Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning, Kelly, and good morning, Steve.
Yes, good morning.
It's early, and talking about the occult, it's what a downer. But, you know, I think the question is perfect for what we're going through with the darkness, with, you know, this quieting the church and all that's happening in our culture, causing great confusion, really. And people that are they're looking for peace. They're looking for truth. And I think there are many Christians that are confused about, what do I do now? And so I think we go back to the root of the issue and talk about the how beautiful our faith is and how we are under attack all the time from Satan in different ways. And I think we ought to hit on this idea of the occult moving so fast into our culture as something that's normal when it really isn't. So let's take a look at it. You asked, Steve, you know, what do they have in common? And I think if we take a real look at Christianity in its purest form, we see that righteousness is the standard that God holds for everyone that he created. And it's what God cares about because he's holy. And when we accept the sacrifice of his son for our sins, God forgives us from that penalty of sin, gives us a position of righteousness, which allows us then to have this awesome relationship with God, no matter what's going on in our culture. And, you know, our actions then should reflect the love and holiness of God because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And it just seems like such a beautiful position that God has moved us into. It sounds simple, but because of our sinful desires to want to do what we want to do in a culture that has chosen to exchange the truth of God for what makes them, you know, feel good, it can be an arduous task. It's difficult to live in this culture today with the influence of Satan hounding us. And we see in Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And this is the beautiful thing that God has given us. This is such a gift because as a follower of Jesus, we will have a heart that's set on doing the will of God, not on following darkness, but doing the will of God. And at times, of course, we're distracted. And we sin, and that's part of our humanness. But we have great peace in knowing that when we confess it, God forgives us, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. So we are restored to that relationship with God. I mean, that's how it works. But we have to keep in mind that Satan desires to encourage us to sin and turn away from God and do our own thing. He feeds into that thing we call the flesh. And it is daily, moment by moment. I'm sure we all feel that, especially in these days, the battle between good and evil. And at times like these times, it seems like Satan is winning. But God's sovereignty will prevail for us if we keep our focus on him. But there is an enemy that is knocking at our door, that is hounding after us. We have to realize this is what it's like as long as we're living on earth. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So we see this juxtaposition, and it makes it tough for us.
Well, let's shift over to occultism now. Where do we even start with that? What exactly does occultism even mean?
Yeah, well, it's deep and it's dark. And occultism, the occult, means hidden or secret. And it's just like Satan, you know, to slip behind the scenes and to disrupt our lives. But occultism goes deep, and it involves theories and practices that involve beliefs in or knowledge of the supernatural forces of beings, in this case, demons. And the occult usually is involved in invoking evil connotations associated with witchcraft and sorcery, summoning the dead, ritual sacrifice. And it seems to me, as I'm looking at this, you know, right now, this is just, it's like, what is she talking about? This is out there. Well, it's closer than we think, you know. Some Eastern cultures, however, the religion and occult are part of what they believe in. They worship a god and they worship Satan and talk to the demons right along with it. So it's just intermixed. It's amazing. But what we have to realize, I read an article in the American Interest, and it says this: progressive occultism, which is what we just talked about, the language of witches and demons, of spells and sage, of cleansing and bad energy, of stars and signs, has become de facto religion of millennial progressives. In other words, here, the meaning of this belief system has nothing to do with faith, yet it requires one to reject their belief in God and the sinfulness of men. Anything goes as long as it works for the individual. They believe that there's no single truth, only subjectivism. So this is very much now in the forefront of millennial belief systems.
Well, how do these practices affect our overall culture?
Yeah, I think because they're quiet and they're secretive, we don't even realize they're there. I read this book called Lawless by that was edited by and Brian Pittman wrote one of the chapters in there on page 119. He examines the threat of the cult practices in our culture. And he says this: in recent years, there's been a surge of the practice of witchcraft in Wicca. Psychic readings, tarot cards, energy crystals, and many other occult consumer items have become all the rage. The psychic services industry now generates approximately $2 billion in annual revenue. Social media is littered with witchcraft influencers, and it's now being used by the devil to seduce the unsaved into thinking there's an entire world of power, knowledge, and ability that they can tap into if they just defy God's prohibition of witchcraft and mystical practices. And it has creeped its way into the church as well. I know in COVID, you know, we've all been watching these movies from Netflix, and it's amazing. I was amazed how much occultism, Satanism, is just flooding our culture. We don't even realize it.
You know, I agree with that. I've got a Netflix account, and I was looking for something to watch just a few days ago, and I thought, everything on here is so dark. I just shut it down. It's craziness. Hey, Nancy, we're going to have you hang on for just a minute, but when we come back, we want to dig into the church, what impact the occult has had on the church. I want to invite all of you to stick around with us, too, because I don't want you to miss this part of the conversation. We'll be back with Nancy Fitzgerald in just about 2 minutes.
Keep it here for more Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.
Well, it is 7:13 right now. You are tuned in to Mornings with Kelly and Steve here on Moody Radio. And, you know, we're examining our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Ministry. And we're talking about the occult and Christianity. Now, Nancy, what about the church, Nancy? Let's understand what impact the occult is having on the modern day church.
Yes, and keep in mind the occult comes out of Hinduism, which is the oldest religion in the world. There is nothing new. We see Jesus in the time of Jesus calling out demons. So it has been a long time. They've just put, you know, millennial clothes on this thing and pushing it back into the culture. And it's deadly. It is deadly. It will destroy your faith. And that's why we start out talking about the righteousness of God. He's made us righteous. We need to focus on staying in that position of righteousness. But the churches today have, many of them have embraced the occult world. And one of the new ways they're embracing this, but it's not new, it comes out of Hinduism. It's been used forever, but it's this thing about the Enneagram and which is a numerical system based on supposedly an ancient drawing of 9 points within a circle to determine personality type in the kind of relationship one should have with God. And listen, they're serving this up in churches and people are talking about, oh, what's your, you know, what's your personality type? What relationship do you have with God? But listen to me, the director of this movement is not God, it's Satan himself. The Enneagram was created by a guy by the name of George Jurgis, and who's an occultist whose life works centered around necromancy, by the way, which is using demons to contact the dead, which of course you can't do, it's prohibited by God, fortune telling and secret societies. This is not of God. And you can try to put Christian clothes on this, but it doesn't work. It was a pathway to accessing the spirit realm, immortality, and the understanding of the cosmos. This is an occultic practice, and one would think, hopefully think that the church would flee from this stuff, would do their homework. But hundreds of pastors have embraced this by leading their churches to engage in it through a sermon series, through hosting conferences, and providing individual training. And, you know, this idea of going into yourself or relying on another spirit to guide you is total insanity. I'm not kidding you. And Christianity's goal is not finding our hidden inner self, but instead to die to ourselves, to become new creatures in Christ. And the scriptures speak loud and clear on this. You just have to be so careful. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 11 here. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostle of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. You know, in Deuteronomy, I want to use this verse because it goes way back, you know, way back in time. And it's written here by Moses, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, there it is, or casts spells, who is a medium or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. In Christianity, my friends, and the occult are polar opposites. One is good and one is evil. And you cannot Christianize the occult by bringing it into churches or offering self-help classes using satanic mythology. And these things might include, you know, bringing Christian yoga into class. There's no such thing as Christian yoga. Yoga, the very roots of it are Hinduism. I know people hate to hear that, including my own kids, my own mother. But those positions are positions of worship to Hindu gods. And I'm telling you, it breaks us down on the edges and eventually gets to the core of our belief system. Guided meditation, come on. Necromancy, you know, where you go and somebody in your church is telling you that they've talked to somebody that's died and everything's okay. That is not of God. Spells and tarot cards, Ouija boards and the like, getting into crystals and stones and all this. It is, our object is Jesus. It's not the occult. It's a whole two different worlds. And God, you know, says here in Isaiah, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I mean, I think sometimes we want to be so inclusive. We've got to hold the borders there and protect our own hearts from what the culture is doing. And honestly, I think 1 John 4:1-6 is it. It said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he is in you, who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. They speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there it is. It's so clear for us. And I think this question begs us to reevaluate, what is our faith really like? Is it based on Jesus? Is our faith built on truth? Or we have allowed it to be infiltrated by Satan, who's kind of trying to destroy us, cause us anxiety and hurt and fear? Where all along Jesus said, I can give you peace through anything, including these times.
Well, Nancy, you know, this whole conversation really does break my heart, because for a period of years I spent in my career in business consulting, and it's not uncommon when in the corporate world to look at, you know, personality types, especially in complex sales environments, because you want to understand positioning and all of those things. And so we would utilize Myers-Briggs and, you know, DISC systems to understand personality profiles. And Enneagram was actually one of those that was incorporated into secular corporations. And now, unfortunately, I see this massive parallel between CEOs and lead pastors. They're more interested in churches who are developing leaders, not disciples. Everything's about leaders. We want to train up our leaders within the church, but we're incorporating things like the Enneagram into our church teaching from the platform, which ultimately is a dilution of God's word and is heretical in its overall presentation. But if this is present in your church and those are the types of things that are happening, ask yourself, is the church running itself like a corporation, or is the church building itself as a business? And are we really being fed the word of God? Because that is paramount. God's word is paramount, and all things are subservient to it. And if the truth of God is not being preached, you are just walking along and you know, you're playing right into this hand. It is breaking my heart, this whole conversation, and what we see not only in, you know, American church, but westernized church, these Eastern influences. And it is from inside. It is breaking down the church from the inside. And it is heartbreaking.
Yeah, so well said, Steve. And it is shocking to see how much of the church Satan has cornered. And we have just got to speak up. Really, do you think God's interested in personality testing? I mean, I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
We have one personality, sinner, end of story. That's all we need to know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it distracts us. It's so distracting. And then, you know, people get into all this other stuff, but there's no end to the distraction of Satan. And we need to pull ourselves back. But I love what you just said about people that are sitting in pews of churches that are leaning this way. You know, it's leadership without discipleship, which is a big push now, is part of it. It's just pulling us away from the heart of God. And we've got to call it out in our churches, if necessary, leave, because this is getting down. And especially now that the millennials, you know, the 35 to about 22, 23 year olds, you know, and that age range of adulthood that are being sucked into this. Books are being written, classes are being taught in and out of the churches, and somebody's got to blow the whistle. They just simply have to.
This has been a great discussion today. Seriously, I mean, you're right.
Me.
The occultism, it's got its fingers in everything, it seems. And we've got to be sober and alert. We have got to be.
So, I mean, if we want to see what it is, go no further than going straight to Revelation 2 and look at the letters to the seven churches and what God had to say about that. Because the church at Ephesus was considered, they were the people, they were held up. And then look at what God has to say. These are the words of Christ. I will remove the lampstand. I will cut the wick. I will snuff it out. What do you think is happening to the church right now?
Yes. Hey. And I think Matthew 7, 2, get away from me. I never knew you.
Oh,
Lord, wait, didn't we do all this stuff? Get away from me. And, you know, the other warning in the New Testament I'm just thinking of right now, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Don't be sucked into this. You have to go back, get in the scriptures, and stay close to Jesus, because people are losing their minds. The culture has gone crazy, but we have got to stand firm against this and be that light, especially for our kids and grandkids. You know, we just have to toe the line, because this is the path to destruction. And I'm with you, Steve. It's just so sad. I mean, it's just so, so sad.
Yeah. Hey, Nancy, we're getting several texts rolling in. We only have a couple of minutes left, but I did want to run this by you, because someone did ask this question, legitimate question. If you could address it and just take 1 minute to do it. They want to know, how do you warn non-Christians about things of the occult? This person says, people just look at me like I'm crazy when I try to warn them.
Yes, and I that's a great question. And it's a problem for a lot of them, because they are fueled by emotions, not by truth. And that's the thing. Faith is not by feeling. And so I think what you do is talk to them about where this is going. Tell me, does this give you peace for when you die? What's going to happen to you? What happens to you if you go down this road? And try to let them see that there's nothing solid. There's no promise that promises them peace. Ask them if they have true peace in their soul. That when they die, what is your future? Where is this taking you? The Beautiful Side of Evil is a book that was written years ago, and it might be good to see if Amazon even has it, but it's a story of a woman who was caught in the occult, and she asked this very question: on what foundation did this come? Have people do your research. From where did this come? Did it come from God, or did it come from another source? All of this stuff is coming from the mystic occult, the Satanist practices that come out from the beginning of time, because Satan was cast to the earth. And do you remember when they're in the garden, Satan said, "You can become like God." And they bid on it. Adam and Eve bought that lie. And that's the foundation of all of this. Look, Satan is promising things he can't deliver. But if you challenge people to go back, tell me, on what foundation is this belief that you have? From where did this come? Let's go and help them look into it. You can find it. And where is it going? Yeah. And that's how I would respond to that. I'd start asking questions. Where is this taking you ultimately? And on what foundation is this built?
Yeah. And, oh, my goodness, we could go and we can unpack the Age of Enlightenment and all of the things that came from around that, and intellectualism and philosophical movements. And we could just blurry ourselves with all of that. But we're going to have to visit it another time. And I would love to continue that discussion. Got a lot of people who have said that this is built into them this morning. So want to point you over to KellyandSteve.org under the resources tab. You're going to find the information about Anchors Away, or you can go straight to anchorsaway.org. Want to get you there, regardless of how you get there. Get there. You know, the worldview and the Christian worldview, understanding that and living it out is what fights against this and will withhold the enemy in this world.
They're helping you take that next step in your journey with Jesus. It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve.